Welcome to the underground.
Turn me up, bitch!
My Little Underground with Peter A.
It's My Little Underground. I'm Peter A. Make sure you're listening anywhere you get podcasts. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at MLUPod. You can check out my website as well, peteraradio.com, to sign up for my monthly email, My Little Underground newsletter. You can also check out the first episode of my Mixcloud show, Peter A. Radio, and my wrestling podcast with my brother, Smiley Arriaga, The Wrestling Caucus. We're putting out a brand new episode tomorrow. Now, today on My Little Underground, we have Malcolm Smith, podcaster and TV writer and producer. He has a new Insecure podcast called He Got Y'all. He started it season 4, and we're going to talk about season 5, the final season of Insecure, and the first episode that premiered recently. And he has a new TV series coming in February 22 called Butch Queen Energy, BQE for short, and he gives me some exclusive details on the new series. So get to know Malcolm Smith and his podcast and his new TV show right here on My Little Underground. There he is. Yep.
Okay. Fantastic. Because listen, if this didn't work, I wasn't going to tell you. I was like, I'm not that good at tech support.
Yeah, there's no IT is way off the clock.
Oh, please. Yeah, not even a question.
Not even admiring your wall.
Let me just.
Yeah.
Thank you. I started collecting these and I was like, when I get a coffee table, I'm going to put them on a coffee table. And then it's like, well, you can't really see. I'm gonna just like tilt it up. So like, so
whoa. It goes a little
right. And I was like, I can't fit all of these on a fucking table. That's not gonna work.
No. So
this was my next best option.
They look way better on the wall. I think that's cool. They do.
No. That's not gonna work. That's not gonna work. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Gosh, I'm tired.
Yeah, I hear you.
What's up?
You know, man, it's all about you today. Yeah,
I feel
he
like
got you.
Part of me wants you to see your professional face. Why is my internet connection unstable? Am I going in and out?
No, for a little bit. Right now, you're okay. What do you got? You got Spectrum, Verizon?
Spectrum. No, I have Optimum.
Oh, see? Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of shoddy things about Optimum.
Yeah, I used to have Fios, but not anymore. Because, I mean, this is not an ad, but Fios was really holding it down for me.
Yeah, yeah. It's holding it down for me, too. Like, a year and change doing podcasts over Zoom, Fios has been holding it down for me. No issues here.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
But no, Spectrum hates me. And not Spectrum. Optimum hates me, and that's fine.
Yeah. But you know what I noticed? Like, the past, like, you know, 6 or 7 years you've been in podcasting with Fully Loaded. And then you're doing He Got Y'all, but like Fully Loaded has been pretty inactive. And He Got Y'all is pretty much a limited series because you started season 4 of Insecure and now we're in the last season. Like, so you don't seem to be all that connected with the podcasting medium. So tell me your thoughts and your experiences interacting with this podcasting thing.
Yo, so here's the thing, right? So I will be fully transparent. I don't know what happened to Fully Loaded. Like, one day we were just like, we're not going to record this week. We'll pick up next week. And then next week never really happened. But the fact that you just said 7 years is kind of wild to me because in my mind, I don't think about this on a timeline. So I'm like, oh shit, 7 years. That's kind of a long time. Yeah, I mean, my love of podcasting comes from as we know each other from radio. So that really is where that was kind of like rooted from. I enjoy podcasting, but I enjoy a hot mic more than I do a recorded mic. So like podcasting is fun, but there's like a different energy that comes from like radio that you don't get with podcasting. Which kind of makes me like, to it sometimes, but.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Yeah. Like I miss the hot mic, so to speak, but I found a lot of magic with the cold mic. You know, I have a lot more freedom with that cold mic because with the hot mic, you have the FCC and I don't like the FCC. So with the cold mic, forget it. You know, no rules over here.
Right.
But why did you wait till season 4 of Insecure to start He Got Y'all?
Something I would like to call a global pandemic.
Oh, that's right.
That is the only reason why I started the show. The only reason. So as we all know, March 2020, everything was like, and cut. Nothing else is happening.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like right before, not even right before, it was actually, I think that first week of lockdown before things were like really, really locked down, but it was kind of clear like, oh, we're about to be in this for a while. Something was like, buy a microphone. No reason why. I had no reason to be buying a microphone, but something was just like, buy a mic. So I bought a mic. I also bought a Switch, which I now no longer play, but you know, that was just, I think my spirit was like, we're gonna be bored. We're gonna have to find something to do. So yeah, I bought this mic. And then that was in March. And then when did Insecure premiere? I want to say maybe like April, May.
Yep.
Somewhere in there. It was like April, May 2020. And I was kind of just like, okay, let's take a stab at this. Which I was a little apprehensive about because there's already like an official HBO podcast, Insecure podcast. Shout out to Insecurity, Crystal, Fran, love them. But yeah, so I was like, why should I do this if there's already someone else doing this? And then it's kind of like, well, there's a million brands of toilet paper and people just buy the one that they like. So, you know.
That was the same thing with the wrestling caucus with me and my brother. There's a million and one wrestling podcasts. And I guess if some people like Bounty and some people like whatever the other knockoff brand is, you know, whatever, pick your poison. So we just... Yeah, it's kind of like you, like, we've been wrestling fans our whole lives, but yeah, why not now? It's the best time to talk about
what's exactly.
Happening. Yeah. So
yeah, and I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel like it was also like I feel like you do this show for the listeners, but you're also doing it for yourself in like a selfish kind of way. Like even if no one was listening, I feel like you would still be doing the show.
You kidding?
Because I feel like it's a right, yeah. Like I feel like it's like a it's a personal like outlet or creative personal outlet as opposed to like I don't know, somebody that's getting into podcasting for like ad dollars and all of that other stuff, which spoiler alert people, that rarely ever comes. And if it does, it's usually after a lot of work. So
yeah, that game is really like an influencer market, like a lot of other things. You know what I mean? Like everything, every medium with advertising is just like, who's the person that's going to attach themselves to this brand? And then that's about it. So you've teased, you're going to have some people involved with Insecure on the show. Can you provide any insight as what kind of people? You don't have to name names, but like what, like directors, writers.
Okay. Sorry. A writer / say that. Yeah. I feel like if I start doing the slashes and the multi hyphenates, it'll be easy to figure out who, but you know, this is the business of the tees. That's what you call the tees people.
Yeah.
After the break, we'll get to it. But
was it hard getting in contact with any insecure people?
Yes. Yes and no. You know what's funny? I feel bad when I say stuff like this because I know that like many people have died and many people have been like, you know, struggling during this period, but like, for me personally, creatively, the best thing that could have happened was this pandemic, which sounds really, you know, bad to say and selfish, but it's the truth. Mainly because there was so much idle time that you, if you really wanted to like get your hands messy with other stuff, there was plenty of time to do it. And then also, I feel like the big boom of the pandemic was Clubhouse. Everyone was on Clubhouse. Like it, I don't know if people are still on it. I'm not really on it anymore. But Clubhouse was a really, you know, driving force, I guess, during the pandemic. That's how I met a lot of those people. Like there were just a lot of rooms with writers or people that wanted to be writers or, you know, just many different types of rooms to jump in and out of. So, yeah. So not, wow. I won't say it was, I mean, it was difficult, but I feel like it was almost kind of laid in my lap in a way, so.
Oh, you found these people on Clubhouse, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so basically, like, we would be like in a room, or not in a room together, but more or less in a room together. And then generally we'll kind of set up like a webinar or like a Q&A type thing. And then, you know, once you get the mic, you ask your question, but you also pitch your pitch and you kind of hope the person says yes. So
two relationships coming out of season four and going into season five that I want your thoughts on: Molly and okay. Issa and mm-hmm. Issa and Lawrence, right? Because I think, well, first regarding Molly and Issa, I think there's still maybe some unanswered things because they had a big smackdown in the end season four. But I feel like they kind of got back too quickly, but then it was like they realized, yes, it's too soon. But I also thought it was interesting in season four, they had that conversation that we didn't hear in the Ethiopian restaurant. But now in season five, they are, you know, together with their friends going to Stanford and all that stuff. So do you think that all like the subtle things that they, you know, did to make you think that maybe they've made amends or starting to make amends? Or do you feel like this, it should have been a lot more explicit dialogue or anything to showcase their amended relationship?
So I like that we didn't get to see the full conversation. Also because I think partially when you're like trying to rebuild a friendship or like even just mend a relationship, I think so much is the unspoken. So like they could have written like the best Emmy award winning dialogue for the two of them. But I think sometimes the actions themselves just show you how a person or how you and another person are like reconnecting with each other. So like even in the episode last night where they almost, well, spoilers, I guess, if you haven't watched yet, but but when they almost get you know, when they get robbed at gunpoint, like that I feel like was such a defining moment where it's like, even though we've had our ups and downs and we've been bumpy with each other, like this is, I feel like if you had to be robbed at gunpoint, which nobody really wants to be robbed, but like if you had to be robbed, who would you want by your side but your best friend, you know? So like I see why you would want to see the conversation, but I kind of like that we kind of skirted around it because I think it's implied. Like, I think it's, I hurt you, you hurt me, but like, let's try to figure this out so that we can move forward in this friendship.
Yeah. You know what? Like, you know, I was basically just playing devil's advocate. I actually like the subtle approach that they took. Cause I think there's a whole season to really, you know, bring them together. But I loved at the end of season four, them sitting in the restaurant and we don't hear what they're saying. I thought that was amazing. But so we'll see, because they did have a huge, because it's different. Issa thinks differently. Like in The Sopranos, you know, Carmela and Tony, they had a huge blow up and then we saw them come back together. And, you know, in the test stream episode. So it's just different, but I like what they did. So I can't wait to see how things are going to kind of roll together. So Issa and Lawrence, you know, the Condoleezza kid, we don't know what's going to happen there. So, and them kind of breaking up at the end of the season five premiere. So what do you think? Yeah. Do you think you want to see them together, or do you think, you know, are you a Nathan fan?
You know what's funny? I was just saying this on the podcast earlier. I'm not team anybody. I'm team stay single and get your life together. Like, that's really the energy I'm on. I don't know if I see them getting back together. I think Issa's at a point now where, like, there's been so many repetitive patterns in her life where I think she's really trying to not be who she was. I was going to say 5 years ago, but I learned that the show is it's only been 2 years since we've watched the pilot.
Interesting.
Like, it's only been 2 years in like insecure time. Right. Which now makes me think, no, I think I still feel the same way. But yeah, I think Issa's just so ready to break out of that repetition that she's been in of like fucking things up over and over. So I hope that she kind of takes some time to herself and doesn't get back with him. But I kind of want all of the characters to be single. I mean, not all, but like Issa and Molly.
Or just happy with what they're, you know.
That, or that's just all. Happy, right, exactly. And even the creator of the show, well, not the creator, one of the showrunners, Prentice Penny, he was saying that the whole theme of this season is, will I be okay if you know, with just what is. Like, if nothing else were to change, like, could I be okay with what's happening current day? So.
And I think that's very relatable to me.
Oh, absolutely.
And to a lot of people. And yeah, I love, I can't wait to see what's going to happen with all of that. And it's not, it doesn't seem like, oh, you know, we're all going to get married and have kids at the end, which is fine. I can't wait to see what's going to happen. Yeah.
Which is fine, but it's also just so cliche. And I feel like what has made this show so special is that it really feels relatable, no matter how good or bad shit gets in these characters' lives. So like, you know, if somebody were to like, if someone were to get married at the end of this, I would not be disappointed, but it would feel rushed. I'm not gonna lie. Unless it was somebody we already knew, like Andrew or Nathan or Lawrence, but I would like to see Issa single. I really would.
Issa seems happy single. She did the block party single.
Right.
She started block single. So she seems to be at peace being single.
Issa's life is the most fucked up when she has a man.
Yeah. That is just, it's true.
That is the anytime Issa's in a relationship is where things get really, really reckless.
Yep. Like Lawrence and Daniel, that was a mess. And even on her hotation, that was a mess too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a rough one to watch. One of my favorite seasons of the show, but from like if this was my friend, I'm like, oh, this is you struggling, sis. This is not good.
Yeah. So let's talk about your show, BQE, Butch Queen Energy. It's premiering February 2022, Black History Month. I think it's perfect timing. So
it's weird. Yeah, I've never talked about this. You're the first person I'm speaking about this to in like this capacity. So interesting. All right, let's go.
So what
you get the exclusive.
All right. So what made you want to like start a series? You know, because I know you're a big TV head, but what motivated you? Okay, let me put pen to paper.
Right. So again, much like He Got Y'all, it was the pandemic.
Oh.
It was literally sitting in my house for a whole year. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, what am I going to do with all of this free time? So actually the way the idea came about. So I work with like a creative production team. I would tell you the name, but we're trying to change the name to something a little bit cooler. So I don't want to put the old name out there. Okay. But basically, me and like two of my creative partners, Essence and Simone, they were like, we should write something specifically for like Instagram, like IGTV. This is when IGTV had like kind of like first kind of popped up. And we were like, let's just like a 15-minute story. We'll put it up there. I was actually going to be called New Year's Eve. It was going to be about some friends on New Year's Eve and, you know, some chaos happening. And then as I started writing it out, I'm really into character. So like I like really flushed out, thought out like solid characters. So once I did a little work of creating the characters, I was like, well, this is a little too big of a world for like a 15-minute short. So I just kind of just took it from there and was like, all right, well, how much can we build this out? And then one episode turned into two, and then two turned into four, and then four turned into seven. And then here we are. So yeah, seven episodes. They're all like 30 minutes a pop. And yeah, it's giving actual TV. Comedy series, so I'm excited.
When you say TV, do you mean it's going to be a web series or it's going to be on television?
Yes. Right. Oh, television. Oh, from your mouth to God's ears, Peter.
Okay.
No. So, as of right now, I think it's going to be on a streaming service. I can't say which one, but not one of the not like Netflix or Hulu.
It doesn't matter.
Well, let me knock on wood. You never know, No, at this point, it'll probably just live on a digital platform. So we'll see how that plays out. But yeah.
What about the cast? How did you meet them? Like, what was that audition process or the curation process of your casting
characters? Right. So it was kind of a mix of really two different worlds, just being living in New York City. I just know a lot of actors because actors, New York City.
Yeah, gotcha.
So some of the casting just came from like people I already knew. And then also in knowing that I was casting specific people for specific roles, it kind of helped me write in some of their voices. So like there was some people where I was like, oh, like you already are kind of like this person. I'm going to just lean more into how you speak to make this character come more alive so that it just feels more natural. And then the other way was just the typical backstage actors access, like the very cliche way, or not cliche, but the very traditional ways that actors get roles.
Okay. So, yeah. What kind of stories are you going to be telling? Like, are we going to, it seems it's very LGBTQ focused, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot of black experience relating to stuff happening. So what kind of a romantic story? Are we going to laugh? Are we going to cry? What?
Right. You know what's funny? So there is a breakup scene. Is that a spoiler? Not really, because I didn't, you know, you don't know who's going to break up. But there's a breakup scene that happens that we actually filmed last night. And I was like, oh, okay. I see what's happening here. Like, because the show was really a comedy, but of course, in every world of comedy, there's some drama. So yeah, I think people will be laughing mostly, but I think there will be a couple of moments in the series where people are like, oh, wow, okay, I did not really see that coming or see that happening like that. But yeah, for the most part, it's a comedy. It follows a TV news journalist, so think like CNN, MSNBC, who just got fired from his job. He has to move back to New York City, where he is picking up the pieces of his life. He doesn't move in, but he ends up living with his little brother, who is just like a mentee that he used to, what is it called? Like big brother, big sister, like that type of thing.
Sure.
So he moves in with him, or they move in together, I should say, kind of. And yeah, we just watch them navigate life, career, dating, and all the things in New York City. So,
do you have a premiere date?
Yes. I really, part of me doesn't want to say it because I don't want to jinx it, but I feel like you have to put it in the universe. So, I believe it's February 1st, if I'm not mistaken.
Interesting. Okay. Is that kicking off Black History Month strong?
I don't know. Yeah, I just have to. I don't know either. Hold on. February 1st is a Tuesday. Yeah, February 1st.
All right.
Also, the Lunar New Year, which if that means anything to you, all right now.
Okay. So are you actually, because you're the creator, writer, are you directing as well?
No. So creator, writer. So I originally was not going to, I was going to be in it, but in a very smaller capacity, almost like what's the guy's name from Marvel? Stan Lee, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
So it was gonna be like a very like Stan Lee thing where I just wanted to appear in like one episode or like play a character that was like very, very, very like not integral to the story at all, like a bus driver or like somebody very random. But the thing about the story is that it is so New York City, like it's so Brooklyn, that everybody that auditioned for the role of the lead character was good, but like wasn't Brooklyn enough. Like they just didn't have like that New York energy on them. And it was just like, you know, like New York has like a certain kind of rhythm to it. And even the most, I won't say the most, but I think for these characters, it really had to be someone that was authentically from Brooklyn because it's just too deeply rooted to like have someone from Wisconsin tap into this Brooklyn energy. You know, shout out to everybody in Wisconsin, nothing personal, but yeah. So I say all that to say, I originally was not going to be in it at all. And then I ended up taking the lead role, which I didn't plan on doing. And I really wish I would have known that I was playing it before I finished writing it, because I would have wrote it differently. Because now I'm like, oh, there's stuff that I wrote for this character that I myself don't want to do, but here we are, so.
All right. You know, you have to come back to My Little Underground to talk about the show when it premieres.
Yeah, listen, you're in, Peter. You got the first exclusive.
Let's go. Let's go.
If this thing blows up and people are trying to talk to me from, you know, Vanity Fair and Variety Magazine, I'll be like, oh, excuse me. I have to go speak to Peter A. first. Thank you.
Ah, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Yes, no, come on. We do loyalty around here.
I got you. Yeah, get your plugs in. You know, tell people where to follow you. He got y'all.
Yes. Oh, so Oh gosh, so many things. All right, so my personal, which is irrelevant, is just underscore Hey Malcolm, but you know, follow that. But he got y'all on Twitter. New episodes drop every Monday, and then BQE, is it BQE the series? I should know this better. I think it's BQE the series on Instagram and Twitter, which will be dropping in February 2020. If all goes to plan. But all 22, I keep doing that. Yo, I keep doing that, dog. I put up something on Instagram the other day and I was like, come in February 2020. I put 2021 because in my mind I was like 2020 and I was like, that's wrong. That's next year because. Right. Listen, we lost the whole year thanks to the Panic at the Disco. So I don't know. What it is. I don't know anymore.
Nobody knows exactly. I think it's still it's Prince 1999 all over.
Yeah, every you're day. Just like yeah. I don't know. Who are we? Where are we at? What's happening?
Exactly.
So
yeah. Well, thanks, Malcolm, for coming on. I think it was very.
Thank impromptu. You for having me. Yeah. Anytime. Also, yes, congrats on all the new things because I mean we've been texting about it, but like I would like to big you up. In your face.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it. Like, I know it is not easy. Like, doing one podcast alone will, like, kick your ass. So.
It has. But it's fun.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Right. Yeah. As long as you find it fun. Who's on your shirt? Let me guess. Don't show me. Is it? No. Let me guess.
Okay.
Were they out in the 90s?
No. That's Kofi Kingston. And that's Big E.
Oh, first of all, I was this arm motion was me covering your face so I could see.
Yeah.
Okay, I am familiar with Kofi Kingston. I was gonna guess like Matt Hardy or something just from the armband, like the badge thing.
Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah, the hair. Jeff Hardy had blonde hair in like 1999, but yeah, right. That is Kofi.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Wait, who is this next to him?
That's Big E. They're in a tag team together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know who this is. All right. I watch WWE like once a year.
Yeah, I've stopped watching WWE. Like,
oh, really?
I watched other wrestling shows. Yeah, because it's like
it got too fake.
It's bad, really bad. Yeah, like just from like a forget about pro wrestling, just from a TV perspective, it's terrible. Okay. Yeah, like the last caucus, me and my brother just had a vent session about how we don't really want to talk about WWE anymore unless something big happens. Yeah, so.
Yeah. WWE always felt like a soap opera to me. Like you ever like if you, I mean, I doubt you watch soap operas, but like
it's growing up, opera.
Like if your parent watched a soap opera, like it would be very much like you could miss 6 months of the show and turn it on and be right back in because the characters never really change.
Yep.
And that's how I feel about WWE. Like somehow, some way, you're like, oh, like this is this person's son or this is this person's like it's always like a weird family tree in WWE stuff. So
yeah.
But yes.
Malcolm, all right. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you,
My Little Underground.
Yes, of course. Thank you for having me.
Open door policy.
Okay, I'm gonna go. Oh, please don't tell me that.
Yeah. Come in whenever you want. Yeah.
Okay, I will be. I won't make that joke. But okay. It was gonna be a black joke. Like, I will be real black and show up unannounced all the time.
Yeah. Hello. Yeah.
Hello. Ding dong. Yeah. With my fist.
Yep.
But okay. Yes. Thank you, Peter.
Anytime.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.
All right. Peace.